Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here. And Sprague and Line coming up at 8:30. We got the Daily Ticker at 7:30. And Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet. Really good stuff last week for Wild Card Weekend. He will hop on yet again for divisional round stuff at 8 a.m. What was your guys' Wordle score today? How'd you do on Wordle?
I don't give a damn about your Wordle.
Okay.
I didn't All do right. Wordle.
I still don't know what it is.
All right, great. We're off to a rip-roaring start here on a Football Friday.
You might be talking to the two oldest people in the building. If there's two people that are not going to play Wordle in this building, it is Jason Swigart and myself.
Yeah, you two would probably get my vote of least likely to participate in that game.
We are kindred spirits in that regard.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour. NFL divisional round is this weekend. Pretty excited for that one. I do want to start with the second hour with this. So I was going through these matchups. I was reading some stuff yesterday. And Rams-Bucks is a really intriguing game. We talked about the pressure that might be on the Rams.
For sure.
You know, Brady, yeah, Ninkovich is out here suggesting Brady's going to retire. So maybe it's Brady's last go-around. Who knows? But something that struck me in doing some reading about this is I keep seeing like Mahomes-Allen, Burrow at Tennessee, Burrow-Tannehill. Who's going to play? Burrow-Henry, Jimmy G versus Rodgers.
I don't think that one's been used, but yeah.
You're right. Debo Samuel versus Rodgers.
There you go. That's a little more accurate.
We love quarterback matchups. We love pubbing the offensive star, right? We get excited for that stuff. Do you feel like it's been underplayed and undersold, this Aaron Donald versus Tom Brady? And the reason I ask that is everybody listening right now knows that Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in football and has been for probably 4 years now. Nobody would refute that. But I'm more curious if people get excited and run to their televisions to watch defensive players like Aaron Donald the way that they do for quarterbacks or running back, wide receiver combinations, the way Debo is. Like, do you think people get up for them for those kind of games when they say, like, oh, Aaron Donald's playing on Fox right now? I got to go watch Aaron Donald play football. Or do you think he largely is like an offensive lineman? You know he's great, but you don't care to really talk or get excited about it.
That's a tough question. I know for me, he is Canvas TV. And watching elite corners, or you know, it's Canvas TV. You think of the Legion of Boom years ago, watching what they would do to receivers and just pound them into submission and make their days hell. That to me has always been fun to watch. I don't know if it resonates with the majority of sports fans, and I think they prefer to see, you know, 52-45, Mahomes throws four touchdowns, Josh Allen throws four touchdowns. But you give me a matchup like this, and you know, we'll spring the line later in the show, but it's one of the reasons why I do like the Rams to win this weekend and why I'm going to take them. It's not only the matchup of an actual matchup where guys are on the field at the same time, right? It's not Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes don't play against each other. They play against the other team's defense. You know, Mahomes isn't going in and playing safety. I'm actually going to get to see Tom Brady have to navigate going against Aaron Donald. And that's not the only one. You got one in the secondary too. Jalen Ramsey might be the best corner in the NFL. And him probably matching up against Mike Evans, although when they played in week three, he only lined up across from him 18% of the time. Some of that might have to do with the healthier roster of Tampa wide receivers, and I imagine that number will go up this week. But I get Aaron Donald trying to chase down, you know, what some believe is the greatest of all time, and I get Jalen Ramsey trying to go one-on-one against Mike Evans the entire day. Sign me up, dude. Those are great matchups that are actually going to be played against each other, and I can't wait.
I just think it's harder with defenses. Usually you want to see the defense as a unit. There are people that lead it. But you think about the great defenses of the past, you know, the Ravens defenses. It wasn't just Ray Lewis. He had Ed Reed, and there were plenty of others. You go back. I'm trying to think of somebody, like an individual defensive player. It's like, oh, they're playing. That's the first name that pops into your head.
So Lawrence Taylor yeah, probably has
Lawrence
to be that.
Taylor
for the Giants.
Reggie White, when he went to the Packers. Dion, obviously. But I think you're going that back to that realm.
And J.J. Watt had a little bit of this, I think, for a few years. The injuries have piled up late. But I think, I mean, he's one of three guys, yeah. Aaron Donald and Lawrence Taylor, the others, that have been three-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah. Is Donald at that level then, you think, for most people?
Yeah, it's harder as a defensive tackle because...
Swag, if I played an audio clip of Aaron Donald, do you think anybody would know it's Aaron Donald?
No.
So that's kind of like my thing is like primetime had commercials.
Yes.
Ray Lewis was as loud as anybody. Right. Lawrence Taylor was a maniac. You're naming great defensive players, and Donald is in that conversation with him.
But he's not out promoting himself the way the others...
No, he's not
preaching.
He's not in that light. Like even Reggie White, right? Like the preacher. I mean, this dude was amazing to listen to practices, post-game, pre-game, whatever. And then on the field, he backed it up with his play. Like he kind of felt like, oh, I have something to cheer for here with who Reggie White is, right? Whereas like Aaron Donald is amazing. And he'll largely try to choke a player out at least once a game. But I don't know how he resonates with people because you are talking about a generational defensive player here.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this was insert these names you're throwing out versus Tom Brady, it might get people up a little more. I mean, look, it's a great matchup on paper for a myriad of ways. But the Donald Brady element with a banged up offensive line really could dictate who wins that game. It could be Aaron Donald got pressure all day, or, you know, they had to put two to three to clip, you know, put a third guy to clip him, have double teams, everything to do what they can to take away that pressure. And it opens up for Von Miller or Floyd or Gaines, whoever it ends up being. Like that is the matchup this week. And we talked about Mahomes and Allen, right? You talk about what San Francisco can, like, how can they scheme against Aaron Rodgers and what he is. And Cincinnati, can Joe Burrow go on the road with Derrick Henry coming back and Ryan Tannehill being a pretty good quarterback in Tennessee so far? That's what we've talked about. You're not getting a lot of insert defensive player versus insert quarterback. And I look at that game specifically and just ask, I feel like we have been undersold on that. This Aaron Donald versus Tom Brady, where it sounds like Jensen might come back. I read the injury report yesterday. Jensen practiced. Wirfs is a really tough read. He's not practicing.
High ankle sprains are tough, man, in a week.
They only get worse as time goes on. And it sounds like, as I say this at 7:08 a.m., and I'm sure at like 12 I'll be an idiot, but it sounds like Wirfs might be more doubtful than questionable. Fournette's coming back. So, like, you're going to miss a pretty key piece of that offensive line for Tampa. And we know, even with a healthy offensive line, what Aaron Donald can do.
Yeah, my excitement level, if you're looking at the meter this weekend, it's 1A Buffalo, Kansas City, 1B LA, Tampa. I think the Sunday games are far better because it just the storylines in this game are great. It's Tom Brady going back to the NFC title game and being a win from another, you know, one win away from another Super Bowl. Matt Stafford and what this win would mean for his legacy, beating Tom Brady on the road, getting to an NFC championship game his first year in LA. I love those stories, but these individual matchups, I think, are what makes it great. And it's not just Brady, although we have used this against him many times in the past. Every quarterback falls victim to this, but the recipe to stop an elite quarterback is to be able to get pressure without blitzing. Like, that is the game plan. And if you go back to the Super Bowl last year, why, in many people's minds, myself included, did Kansas City lose and not look great offensively? It's because they didn't have a healthy offensive line, and Tampa's pass rush was ridiculously good. And so they were able to get after Mahomes and be in his kitchen the entire day. He was running for his life. Brady doesn't have that ability to move around. He doesn't have that ability to extend plays. And so this really could be as simple as, and maybe Jensen plays and is able to kind of put it together. Although I imagine if he's going, he's not at 100% this week. And good luck blocking Aaron Donald, whether you're at 100% or not. But it could be just as simple as that. Are they able to give him time? Because the weakness of the Rams right now, in my opinion, is their second. I mean, they got Eric Weddle, who they just pulled off of the scrap heap in retirement to play like consistent minutes at safety. Like, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
But you got to have time for those guys to get downfield in order to attack a safety who just came out of retirement. And so it's really as simple as that for me, is can they get pressure consistently without having to blitz? And can Tampa's offensive line hold up? It's amazing how things can come full circle, because I think it was a huge factor in them winning the Super Bowl last year was that they had a healthy offensive line, and Kansas City was without, what, two or three starting offensive linemen in the Super Bowl? That was a big factor. And now here we are in the playoffs the next year, and Tampa's going to be the team that has to overcome that.
Well, and it's not just Donald, Dirt. I said this earlier this week about Stafford. I'm going to repeat it again. I think Sean McVay and the Rams have the most pressure of any team on them, of any team. Buffalo can lose to Kansas City, and I'll go, Josh Allen is like 26 years old. He's going to be back next year.
He's around for a long time.
Patrick Mahomes could lose, and I'll say, well, yes, okay, but you're going to be back again next year with a lot of those weapons and maybe a little more healthy going into the year and whatnot. Like, you can draw out passing by with every team in the playoffs. The Rams are the one that I can't. Because they made that trade, and it was supposed to be the trade that put them over the top. They made a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Say what you will about him, they made the Super Bowl with him. I just feel like they have the most pressure on of any team going into this. They have to win this game, and that's the toughest part, is it's a road game against Tom Mother Bleeping Brady.
You got to go beat Brady on the road.
And it almost feels like a must-win situation for this Rams team.
Yeah, the only where I only disagree with you on Green Bay. I think Green Bay is the only team I put slightly ahead of L.A., but it's a very close matchup.
Just in the they might lose
the
Rodgers.
The pressure,
so this
and
could
it could be
thing.
It,
okay,
last dance.
Fair.
And they've been to back-to-back NFC title games and fallen short. They got home field advantage again. Like, I think there's a world of pressure on them, not knowing what the future looks like. At least for the Rams, Stafford's going to be around a couple of years. But it's a 1A, 1B situation. But, you know, don't overlook the fact too, and we talked about this at the end of the season, I know that I'm talking myself into picking the Rams, which is sacrilegious because you don't gamble against Tom Brady in the playoffs. So again, go ahead, pull this Monday when I sound like an idiot. But he's not quite on the same page as some of those wide receivers. And I thought that was evident early in the game against Philly, that they were a little off. And as the game went on for Brady, he really hammered Mike Evans and Gronkowski, which I can't blame him, right? Mike Evans is one of the best receivers in the league. Gronkowski may be the best tight end of all time.
It's kind of how he is, though.
Right? You're going to go to the guys that you trust, and that's where I really buy into that. That matchup with Jalen Ramsey is huge. He followed him around, Mike Evans, that is, 18% of the time when they played in Week 3, but in Week 3, you had Godwin and you had Antonio Brown out there, so you couldn't really single him up on one guy. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Rams, I'm saying make any but Gronk's going to beat you over the middle. It's going to happen. He's going against linebackers and safeties. That's a given. But if you can match up Ramsey against Mike Evans consistently throughout the game and say all those other, go ahead, anybody else beat us, that little white dude who caught the touchdown pass against the Jets to win the game, whatever, anybody else catch balls and beat us, I think you live and die with that and say, Ramsey, we paid you as a number one corner, we think you're the best corner in the NFL, go take Mike Evans away, we're gonna let Aaron Donald get after Tom Brady, and we're gonna make his life hell.
Would you contemplate putting Ramsey once in a while, trying to find old Gronkowski?
Sure, without a doubt. Whatever it takes.
Cornerback,
man. Those are the only two guys. If somebody else beats you, if I'm a Rams fan, I'm okay living with that. Like, somebody comes up with one of those random games and nine catches, 140 yards, a dude you never heard of.
You mean like Scotty Miller catching a pass at the end of the first half?
Exactly. One of those, you're like, all right, whatever, I can live with that. But you got to do whatever you can to take away Gronk and Mike Evans, and the pass rush is going to be a big part of that.
So, Igard, I'll ask you this, and then we'll go to one more, and then we'll go to the Daily Ticker here. Do you feel like the Rams have the most pressure on them this weekend of any team in the playoffs?
No, for me, I still think it's the Packers.
Because of the Rodgers future?
Yeah,
okay.
Because I think if they lose, I think they're starting over.
Well, there's many reports speculating that even if he wins, they're starting over. So it's like, that's kind of why I didn't put them in the Ram category. It's like, obviously they want to win the Super Bowl, but
the Rams are, I don't know how many more years Stafford has or on his current contract, but I think if they don't, they still are, the window's starting to close, but I think it's not shut yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see, man. I'm looking forward to Tom Brady. Is this his last game? If they lose, what his future is? Because he's 44 years old, but then also just, can Matt Stafford do it? Can he go on the road? Can Sean McVay scheme up something? And can Aaron Donald create that pressure to put that Tampa Bay offense in peril for most of the day? I think it's all going to be basically hinge on that. If Donald can do it, Rams have a great shot to get that W. All right, one more thought on the divisional round weekend, then we'll go to the Daily Ticker. Don't forget, we'll spread the line coming up at 8:30. We got Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet. He will give us all his thoughts on this weekend's game from the DraftKings perspective of what you want to bet on. But coming up next, more divisional round playoffs, including, is this a rivalry that means something to you? That's next on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we got the Daily Ticker coming up. Fingers crossed we can get this Green Bay, bro. We got one in Kansas City. Big Chief Bills game. And the Rams people stiffed me.
Rams want nothing to do with you. I'm still gambling on them.
What the hell? I kind of have to.
What the hell? Let's ram it.
Is Niner-Packers a rivalry for a lot of people? We had Cowboys-Niners, and that obviously meant a lot. I still look at pictures from that game, by the way, those screenshots of all those Cowboys fans, and I just kind of take a lot of delight in it. But the Niners-Packers have had some great playoff runs, too, like dating back to the 90s. Like, this has kind of been a playoff rivalry, and two organizations that have Green Bay's largely been up because their quarterback, they went from Favre to Rodgers, and that's an amazing thing to have. San Francisco had their downs, but like when they get back to the postseason, you look in this Rodgers era, the Niners have kind of been a thorn in the Aaron Rodgers side. They've won at Lambeau. They dominated them 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They beat them with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. They beat them with Kaepernick in Green Bay. He was asked about it this week, and he kind of downplayed it. I think there's going to be a lot of FU energy. Like if they can run the score up and dunk on the Niners, Matt LaFleur against Kyle Shanahan has not gone well. I know they beat them this year in the regular season, but I'm talking playoffs here. Does this one reach a rivalry level for you, or is this me
romanticizing like six games in my life and thinking, oh, this game means the world to everybody else. Because I do get a little feel in my sports,
in your tender region.
When Green Bay and San Francisco play, it's the green versus the red. It's the Favre and Young. It's Rodgers versus the Niners. Like, there's something there for me. I just, am I alone in the sports fandom in that regard?
No, you got another guy here that feels the same exact way. And we had listeners texting in, like, we were highlighting, you know, how good we think the Kansas City Buffalo ratings will be. And listeners were saying Green Bay San Francisco is probably going to be the highest rated game of the weekend because you got two national brands. And I do think there's some validity to that. You know, I know in terms of like top level success, it's not going to match what San Francisco and Dallas meant for the better part of 20 years. I mean, you're looking at a 20-year run when those two teams combined for, you know, 10 Super Bowls, for heaven's sake. So it's hard to top that because since, you know, 1995 or 1996, you haven't seen that high level of volume of Super Bowls from Green Bay and San Francisco. But you go look at the history of this game, and I do think it's overshadowed sometimes. 1995, the year after the 49ers won the Super Bowl in 94, they lost in the divisional round of the Packers. The very next year in 1996, and this was still, I mean, Jerry Rice prime, you know, George Seifert was still the head coach, Steve Young prime. They lost at Lambeau Field in the divisional round of the playoffs in 1996. 1997, guess what? They played again. They played in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco. Green Bay came in and beat them 23-10. I believe that was the year Green Bay went on to either lose to Denver. I think that was that year. The very next season.
98, yeah, that was the year they lost to Denver.
The very next year, the 49ers and Packers played again. So they played in 95, 96, 97, 98, 4 years in a row, and Green Bay won three of the four. The only one that San Francisco won in that mix was the catch two. It was the Terrell Owens catch. And then the 49ers went on to lose to Atlanta in the divisional round of the playoffs. But it didn't stop there. They played again in 2001. And then more recently, the 49ers on their run to the Super Bowl in 2012, as you pointed out, won against the Packers, ran all over them 45-31 at home. The next year, they went on the road and played that game in the frozen tundra under Harbaugh and beat them 23-20. That was the year they lost. And then, of course, they played in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. So you've seen this game far more than you've seen San Francisco and Dallas. And I think it resonates for a lot of folks for that reason.
Yeah, I like seeing it's aesthetically pleasing for me the way Niners-Cowboys was. Green Bay and San Francisco is as well. It's supposed to be 0 degrees with the wind chill and 15 to 20 mile an hour winds.
Woo.
And there's a lot of people that like the over in that game.
Somebody said, I'm a 27-year-old Packer fan. Well, I get the history. I consider the Seahawks more rivals with the 49ers, but the Aaron Rodgers being shunned by SF in the draft is a fun angle. That, I mean, you remember that angle though too. I mean, he could have been the number one overall pick to San Francisco, a Nor Cowboy, and they obviously went a different direction.
They left him in the green room. To see about the ratings though, the difference of being the Saturday night game versus the Sunday late afternoon game. Because I think Saturday night is just, it's just tough for TV.
You think Saturday, really?
Oh, dude, I think that's the sweet spot of the sweet spots this weekend is a Saturday night matchup. Green Bay, is there anything better than seeing Lambeau Field at night? Like, I'll never forget the Mike Vick game where he went in there and trounced him like 27-7.
Sure.
I watched the whole thing because I just loved watching night football at Lambeau Field.
I understand all that. I'm just, there's a reason why the NFL's on Sunday and not Saturday. I mean,
Well, but this is playoff football, right? Isn't that kind of different than traditional regular season?
Too. It's a 5:15 West Coast kick, so it's an 8:15 East Coast kick.
Like that matter. These East Coast people, these Midwest people, they love this stuff. They're used to the kick times, man. That's not going to... You think it's going to impact it?
A mother's a mutter?
I think the Bills-Chiefs number will be significantly higher than the
Niners. That's a fun poll question.
I don't know.
What game's going to be higher rated? I'll throw that out right now.
You think it gets into the 40 mil range, San Francisco, Green Bay?
I do think it does.
Yeah. I think it does too.
I do.
I think what we learned from last weekend is
I also think
people
more,
are jacked about these playoffs.
I also think more people are likely to go to a sports bar somewhere else that I don't know how that feeds into the ratings rather than sitting at home. Sunday evening, people are back at home preparing. They will watch that there.
Oh, I think way more people are going to watch that game at home than at a sports bar. Don't you think less people are doing that nowadays versus staying home and having your own six pack and just chilling on your couch?
I think every part of the country is different. That's the hard part. I think there's probably a lot of that in our region, but in a lot of pockets of the country, that's not quite the case.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair.
I just tweeted it out, the poll question.
Okay.
Which one's going to have a higher rating? But I do, you know, I understand. I think the fan who was texted in saying they're 27, not that I am, you know, centuries older than you, but those 6 years make a difference because I do, like, I personally remember more as a kid. I remember more Packers 49ers than I do Dallas 49ers.
Favre with the weird goatee.
With the weird goatee, yep. Coming to San Francisco, the Terrell Owens moment when he couldn't catch a football the entire game in 1998 and then has the walk-off catch. Jerry Rice fumbled a couple of plays previous to that, and if they had modern review, they would have overturned it, and that play would have never happened. And so I grew up like 4 years in a row. I was like 7 or 6 years old in 1995, and then to see him play every single year in the playoffs and the Packers and Favre largely getting the better of him. And there's the revenge factor now because this game was not close, nor was it competitive when they played 2 years ago. The 49ers just ran all over them. Garoppolo threw 8 passes in the game, if I remember correctly, and they put up 37 points. And so there's some revenge at play here for Green Bay.
All right, Daily Ticker is coming up next. We got Spray and Line at 8:30, so an hour from now we'll give you our picks for the divisional round weekend. Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet on at 8 a.m. Trust us, you are going to want to hear what he has to say. This dude is analytical. He dives into the numbers, and he'll give us his thoughts on these matchups and how he thinks this is going to shake out. Daily Ticker is next. It is 7:28. Dirt and Spake, we're back with more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Football Friday. Divisional round of the playoffs coming up. We cannot wait. 2 games tomorrow, 2 games on Sunday. The night cap and the weekend cap of all of it is going to be Kansas City hosting Buffalo, a rematch of the AFC title game last year. We saw the two teams play in the regular season on Sunday Night Football earlier this season. Joining us now from Kansas City to talk about it is our friend Alex Gold of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, the host of Cody and Gold from 10 to 2 over there in KC. Alex, thanks for the time, man. Buffalo has become a trendy pick this week. They scored 7 touchdowns and 7 straight drives against the mighty Bill Belichick. How are folks in Kansas City feeling about this rematch of last year's AFC title game?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I think there'd be some more nerves based off of what the Bills did Saturday night in that perfect game if it wasn't for what the Chiefs were able to do from the second quarter on against, yes, an old beat-up Pittsburgh team, but still seeing Mahomes put up 5 touchdowns in, 10 minutes or so of game time kind of was the answer that I think was needed to match, in a way, what the Bills were able to do the night before. I think if Kansas City would have struggled against Pittsburgh, and the day after the Buffalo Bills put together that perfect performance against New England, I think there'd be some more nerves. But I'd say people are pretty confident with also the understanding of this thing is going to be a dogfight on Sunday, and really it's a de facto AFC title game. We just happen to be getting it a week early.
I feel like, Alex, we've seen almost two or three renditions of the Chiefs in one season. I'm curious why that is. Yeah. And defensively, man, like they started out slow. They've really hit a stride, I'd say, the last 5-6 weeks. What has changed for Kansas City for those of us maybe not reading all the details of who has come and gone on the injury reports?
The turnaround's been ridiculous. I mean, they were historically bad the first 6 to 7 weeks of the season on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it was just flat-out abysmal. People were talking about, you know, not only some of the personnel, but even from the coaching staff with Steve Spagnuolo, you know, what is he going to be, the scapegoat of the season and things like that. Those are the type of conversations if this team were to have missed the playoffs or if this team would have not won the division. We all know they were able to flip the script, and a lot of it was, you know, the personnel either was out or in the wrong spot. So Chris Jones, they tried this experiment to have him play at defensive end, and they said, oh, we'll bring in Jaron Reed to be the defensive tackle, and we'll be able to have Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the outside, and this is going to be great. Well, Chris Jones did not succeed at defensive end. He also had a wrist injury, did not play in that first meeting against the Buffalo Bills. And so moving Chris Jones back to nose tackle, defensive tackle, has been a huge difference maker for them. Then they go out, and for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers were willing to trade Melvin Ingram for a 6th-round draft pick, and Melvin Ingram's been a massive addition. This is a guy the Chiefs wanted in the offseason. He actually came in for a visit, but ended up signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the other player really that has changed this whole thing is the guy that's no longer the number two safety, and that's Dan Sorensen. He was a massive liability, still is a massive liability, guys, for this team. And so a lot of it has just been personnel and guys that were in the wrong spot. And so because of that, this defense now has been able to put together performances to win games for them, which is not something they had done in the past. Now, on Sunday against Buffalo, I think there's an understanding that you're going to give up some points. You're going to give up some plays to Josh Allen.
Two-parter for you, for me to close this one, Alex, is Jerick McKinnon. Where the hell did this come from? I mean, you're talking about a guy in 7 games. He had 62 rushing yards and 107 receiving yards on the season. And then in one playoff game, he goes for 61 yards on the ground and 81 receiving yards, adding a touchdown to the mix. Is that something they can count on? And then do they get it done? I mean, I kind of have this belief of until I see somebody in the AFC beat Kansas City in the playoffs, I'm not going to believe it. Do you think they get it done this weekend?
Right. I mean, McKinnon, it was completely out of nowhere. And I don't know if they can necessarily count on him putting together a performance like he did last week, but I think he should be the guy they try to count on. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been practicing, still a little banged up, but he's been a disappointment throughout his young career in Kansas City. And then Darrell Williams has been the better back this year, but he's not practiced the last couple of days due to a toe injury. So I think they're going to have to lean on McKinnon. He provides a little bit more explosiveness and speed that the other backs have not been able to provide. So everybody here in Kansas City is hoping that he does have a huge role, that he's able to be that big playmaker in addition to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And as far as the result of the game on Sunday, I mean, that's the thought process here a little bit, is that, all right, the Bills got you in a big way in the regular season, but come playoff time, this is a different Chiefs team. Like, the Bills are playing their best. The thought is the Chiefs are playing their best. And if both teams play their best on Sunday, I think if you just look top to bottom at the roster, the Chiefs are the better football team at the quarterback spot, wide receiver spot, and in some areas even on defense. Not a whole lot, but some areas on defense as well. And so I think the Chiefs do win this game. And if they win this game, and this goes for the Bills too, if they were to win, the thought is that either of these teams are going to the Super Bowl. And obviously for Kansas City, trying to go to their 4th straight AFC title game with a win.
Yeah, it'd be impressive, and I'm with you. I think this is the de facto AFC title game. We'll see if Tennessee or Cincinnati can shock the world, but I can't wait, man. It's a game of the weekend. Alex Gold, at Alex Gold on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Cody and Gold over there, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy the game this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. And, hey, maybe we'll be in touch if they are able to pull off a win over Buffalo.
Yeah, you got it, guys. I hope that's the case. Have a good weekend.
You too. There you go. Good stuff from him. Let's go. How about from going to Kansas City to Milwaukee, Wisconsin? Our good buddy, longtime friend of the radio station, radio show, Steve Pfeiffer, who's we pulled this together at the last second. It is a miracle. I don't know how the hell we made it happen.
Really is.
But we made it happen. He retweeted a poll question of ours, and we thought, why the hell don't we have Pfeiffer on the show today? Because the Packers are playing in the playoffs this weekend.
Like, why is he not texting me back?
What
he's
the
retweeting
hell?
Us?
Steve Pfeiffer at Sparky Radio. Go give him a follow from the fan over in Milwaukee. Steve, first off, how are Packer fan feeling going into this weekend? Because we've had conversations all week about which teams have the most pressure on them. My co-host disagrees with me. He thinks it's the Rams because of the trade. I think is Green Bay, because the last couple of years and not knowing about Rodgers' future. How are Packer fans feeling right now?
Packer fans are confident. Really not all that concerned about the Niners at all, to be honest with you. Everybody pretty much walking into this one thinking this is a win for the Packers, and then looking ahead kind of already to Brady. I don't think anybody believes in Matthew Stafford in the country. So everybody's kind of looking ahead to the Buccaneers and seeing what that's going to be like. That'll be a rematch at Lambeau from last year when Brady and the Bucs beat the Packers. I mean, I don't know, man. You're going to get so many guys back that have been hurt for the Packers. You know, David Bakhtiari, the left tackle, has been an all-pro and pro bowler his whole career. Played a half in that last game of the season against the Lions, and now everybody just assumed he would play this week, and now it's, you know, he didn't practice on Tuesday, practice on Wednesday, didn't practice yesterday. So we'll have to wait and see if he's able to go tomorrow. We'll wait on the final injury report there. Got a couple other guys like Whitney Mercilus, who had a torn bicep back in November 14th. Now he's been back out there again. They haven't made a final call if he's going to play. Jaire Alexander, who's been a Pro Bowl cornerback, he's coming back. He's listed as questionable as of yesterday. So I think he'll play. I mean, they're just going to get a bunch of guys back that they haven't been playing with most of the year. And if they can play near the level of expectation that they've played throughout their career, I think they got the best team in football.
Steve, are you surprised by the confidence from Packer fan, given, you know, a few times here, the Niners in the Harbaugh era and a couple years ago have kind of beaten the Packers and Rodgers in this playoff setting? And do you guys over there, do you view the Niners as a rival, not like your biggest rival, but a rival just in the general sense of Cowboy Niners was last week? Because we were talking about that out here, and there's a lot of memories for us on the West Coast of San Francisco Green Bay games.
Absolutely. I think there is to a degree. I mean, it's not Packer Vikings, Packer Bears necessarily. Like if you take it to the NBA, like Bucks Heat, bigger rival than Packers Niners, I think, for sure. Bucks Nets, even though it was only one time, I think people really don't like the Nets around here. The Niners have been a problem for Aaron Rodgers specifically. You know, since he's been the quarterback of the Packers, they're 0-3 against the Niners in the playoffs with Rodgers. And, you know, three different, you know, situations, I guess, and how those games played out. And the way they've beaten the Packers in the past, they run the football. And it's not going to be any different here. You're not going to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo to beat you through the air. So if they can get the ball moving on the ground and Deebo Samuel can get the ball moving as well, running the football, then it's going to be a close game at the end, and we'll see how this whole thing plays out. They played him earlier this year. It took a Mason Crosby field goal at the end to win the game for the Packers. But like I said, we didn't have most of the guys that they're going to have coming back this time. And the other thing is, the other times they've played, they haven't had a running back duo like the Packers have now in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And this is probably the best 1-2 punch that this team has had in quite a long time. In that backfield. And I think that helps the Packers out too, especially when you're talking about playing in these cold weather temps. I mean, right now, I mean, we're in the negative numbers. So by the time you get to kickoff tomorrow, you know, I think kickoff tomorrow, they said it's going to be 17th. So it's going to warm up, but that's a kickoff. By the time that game gets done, I'm guessing it'll probably be close to single digits. This is what I don't understand. I've never played in the NFL. I've never coached, man. If I would have been Kyle Shanahan, I would have, when I played that Dallas game, I would have said, keep your bags packed, because if we win, we're going to Green Bay and we're practicing outside all week.
Yeah.
And give them an opportunity to adjust to this cold weather. Because if they would have been here yesterday and today, it's going to be warmer tomorrow, which means it will feel warmer to them tomorrow practicing outside. But treating like any other week, the shock factor that comes in, playing in that cold weather, and it's as much mental as anything else. It's just getting over how cold you are and being able to play through, not feeling your fingers and so forth.
Yeah, I think I read a stat earlier this week, too, that Garoppolo's only taken like 3 snaps in weather under 40 degrees or something crazy like that.
They were kneel downs.
Yeah, they were kneel downs, right. So and they were in New England. He just came in and takes some kneel downs. Last one for you, Steve, because we're against it, and we appreciate the last second book. Are Packer fans going into this run with the assumption that this is it for Rodgers, let's enjoy it one last time, or is there still hope?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are hoping, because him and the relationship with his general manager have improved, Brian Gutekunst. Mm-hmm. Him and LaFleur have been good, so I think that's good. He said nothing but positive things all year. Like, there hasn't been anything negative towards the team, really, throughout the course of the season, and now John Kuhn, the former Packer fullback who does radio in Milwaukee as well at a different radio station, was on the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio last night. And he said, they're friends now. That Rodgers and Gutekunst, and he expects him to be back next year. So if that's going to happen, obviously there'll have to be an extension done and so forth. Rodgers hasn't wanted to talk about it till after the season is done. But the Packers are in salary cap hell after this season, and they're going to have to overhaul some of this roster. So from that aspect, if he's back or not, they're not going to be nearly as deep probably next year as they are right now. So they kind of got to make hay here. And then, you know, how does his legacy affect it if he goes and loses another conference championship game and ends up like 1-5 in conference championship games? People are going to talk about that later after he's done playing.
Yeah, it's going to hang over his career, no doubt about it. Steve Pfeiffer, he was a last second book, and he was great as always. At Sparky Radio on Twitter. Go give him a follow from 1250 The Fan over there in Milwaukee. Thanks for the time, man. I know it's going to be a fun weekend. Bundle up. It sounds like it's a little bit colder over there than it is here. Enjoy that game, man. We always appreciate it.
I've got one last thing for you. I don't know why I didn't think about this till now, so it's my fault.
Yeah.
Our afternoon guy in Milwaukee, his name is Rami Makhlouf, plus he's a stand-up comedy and stuff. He is one of the more anti-Josh Allen people on the face of Earth, and it's a running bit and has been on their show all year. So if y'all win and beat Kansas City, y'all need to get him on your morning show, because I think that would be very good.
Okay, there you go. Steve Pfeiffer, I love it. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
There you go. Sparky Radio on Twitter. Did he think that he was on in Buffalo? Did he lose? Did he not know who you are?
Yeah, I think he forgot that he was in Portland, not Buffalo.
Whatever. Hey, I'll be in Buffalo. We'll be Buffalo. I am rooting for Buffalo. I'm going to gamble against Buffalo this weekend, but I am rooting for Buffalo to.
We've had that guy on before. He is he's a good guest, but
that was funny. I didn't know where he was going with that last rant.
I didn't either. I was kind of confused by that. But we appreciate Steve hopping on, because that was 4 minutes before we started that segment. Hey, can you hop on?
Yeah, sure. All right, let's start talking about the most overlooked team this weekend. Is it fair or is it valid? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Jab.
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburger. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, the Morning Crunch brought to you on The Fan by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.99 a month. Locations in Beaverton, Aloha Division, Vancouver. I'll be at the Glorious House of Games today. Let's go.
No days off.
Did not go yesterday.
No days off.
Except yesterday.
I took a day off yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm still limping from Wednesday. So bear with me. R.I.P. Louis Anderson. Louis Anderson passed away this morning. So we know Louis Anderson and Meatloaf.
I liked Louis Anderson a lot. I used to watch the Louis Anderson cartoon.
Okay.
Life with Louis.
I'm not a huge Louis Anderson guy.
Did he have a short stint hosting Family Feud?
He did. He did, I think, for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah. Did he really?
He was in Family Feud.
Okay.
He was in that...
he was in Coming to America.
Coming to America, I worked with Eddie Murphy's character. And he was also in that Galifianakis TV show on FX.
Baskets.
He was the grandmother.
Okay. Well, there you go. R.I.P. to Louis Anderson. I lost Louis Anderson and Meatloaf this morning. Text came into the Fan text line saying, as a Niner fan, I love this guy's confidence. Keep coming. Keep on looking forward to the Bucks, pal.
I thought that was an odd thing, opinion for the fans to have.
I did too.
I think Steve is being honest about it, but you haven't beaten this team with Rodgers.
You've lost the 49ers a lot in the playoffs.
Including on the road in a playoff game that you were favored in. If that's the opinion out there, then good luck to you. I don't know if Packer fan out west feels that way, and I get it. It's Jimmy G. It's cold weather, all that. But Okay, if that's your opinion, good
luck.
Yeah,
they played three times, to his point, in the Rodgers era, 2012, 2013, and 2019, and two of the three have been blowouts. The 49ers smoked them at home in 2012, 45-31. That was the year, as we pointed out earlier, the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. The only close one was the one they went into Lambeau and beat him in that frozen game, 23-20, late field goal. They got the win, and then we remember the NFC title game a couple of years ago. The 49ers just, you know, boat raced them from start to finish. That game was essentially over at halftime. It was a snoozer. So I do find that a little strange. I actually agree with his take, though, from Steve, that why teams wouldn't want to prepare all week in the cold is a little surprising to me, knowing that you're going to have to play in 0-degree temperatures and you're just not used to that. And Green Bay has played in how many of those games late in the season, right? I mean, you know, week 15, week 16, they've had a handful of these already. And so they're used to it. Rodgers is used to it. And the stat that did blow my mind, I read it earlier and I'm glad that Steve confirmed it. Jimmy Garoppolo has only taken like three snaps in sub 40-degree temperatures in his entire career. And all three of those snaps were kneel downs at the end of a game in New England. He's never played in an environment like this.
Yeah. Can I counter, though?
Sure. Go ahead.
Nobody is wanting to play in the cold. Nobody. Even if you're in that city.
Rodgers says the colder the better.
This was a narrative the last time they went to Green Bay in a playoff game. And you know what happened? Colin Kaepernick came out and said, I'm not wearing sleeves. Screw you guys. And he went out and dominated them, and they ended up winning the game. Like, we do bring up the cold weather element, and I get it. It has impacted teams throughout history, but I think sometimes that stuff is a little overblown. If the Niners can run the football, do you think they're going to be too cold to keep doing it? They have jackets. They've got heaters. Sure. I get it. It's freezing. It's not what it is in San Francisco right now.
I think there's just an aspect to getting used to it, like just practicing for a couple of days in it. Maybe your body's ready to acclimate better.
I don't think you can get used to that cold.
The part of it for Garoppolo that I would wonder is the guy's dealing with a finger injury, and now he's claiming a shoulder injury, and he's not 100%, but he's going to give it a go this weekend. That was the part of it that thinking about a shoulder trying to get loose and stay warm in 0-degree temperature. That's where my mind went. I mean, you got a Packers team that's fresh and healthy because they had the week off. You got a 49ers team that's banged up, but mainly you need your quarterback to play well if you're going to win this game. If Garoppolo plays poorly, you know, and has a game kind of like he did against Dallas where he's, what, 16-23, 160 yards and a touchdown and a pick. I mean, I don't see that being good enough to beat Green Bay. You need him to play better than that. And so a shoulder injury in the cold, that would be my concern.
My cousin has lived in Minneapolis now for like 7 years. Still hates the cold. Like, just because you're in it doesn't mean you like it or you're used to it. Like, cold is cold. So
you got to make darkness your allies. Is that what they say?
If they lose that game, it's simply going to come down to they got Aaron Rodgers and the Niners have a banged up Jimmy Garoppolo. The Packers defense was able to kind of slow down and somewhat stop the running attack. Because if San Francisco can't run the ball, we know that's going to be difficult for them to win.
Yeah, they have to run the football.
And Bosa probably didn't play. It seems like Bosa's going to play. It sounds like Warner's going to play. So that's pretty important. We don't know about Bakhtiari. I know he mentioned that, but you know, he's coming back from a major injury. I just don't think this game boils down to it's cold outside. I think it boils down to just executing. It's as simple as that. And I just a slight pushback. I don't
How
think the cold
dare
plays
you
a big
poo-poo the elements. How dare you? Do you know what they call that place? They call it the frozen tundra.
They also called it the frozen tundra when Colin Kaepernick and Mike Vick went in there. And how'd that fare?
Hey, there's one game that we haven't really talked much about today, and I teased it to get to this segment, and then we just got derailed. So I will get to it in the final hour. The one team that everybody is overlooking, is it fair? Is it unfair? How do we feel about that? The last game in the divisional round that we need to get to. We will Sprague the Line coming up at 8:30. We got to make our picks. I need a big weekend from Sprague. You and I had decent. We were above 500 at least last weekend. So we'll make our picks coming up at 8:30. But we'll start, though, with Ken Barkley, Lockie Lockerson on Twitter. You better, you bet. We had him on last Friday. We really enjoyed the conversation. He takes an analytical approach to gambling, and we'll get his thoughts on the divisional round matchups, and let's try and win some money this weekend, baby. He starts the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.